Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, October 5th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Elon Musk agrees to buy Twitter and provides a glimpse of his plans for the social media network.
Liz Truss addresses her party as the prime minister works to get her economic agenda back on track.
And the Fed won't let up. Officials signal no plans to slow interest rate hikes.
New York City authorities and the DEA announce a big bust of rainbow fentanyl. Plus, President Biden heads to Florida today to look at Hurricane Ian's destruction. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. Baseball history. Aaron Judge in his record-breaking 62nd home run. The Atlanta Braves clinched the NL East.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Imagine your asset management firm's operational infrastructure as a competitive advantage. Let SEI show you how at SEIC.com/IMS.
And U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning, 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 36 points, Dow futures down 293, and NASDAQ futures down 110. The 10-year Treasury down 17/32nds, yield 3.70%, and the yield on the 2-year 4.12%. Nathan.
Karen, we'll get back to markets in a moment, but we begin with Elon Musk reviving his bid to buy Twitter. He will make the acquisition at the original price of $54.20 a share. Now attention turns to the path ahead for Musk and Twitter. Ross Gerber with Gerber Kawasaki says the world's richest man could be in for a bumpy ride.
He's paying the highest price possible. He's trying to get debt at the worst time possible. He's basically being forced to buy this company. It's not like he changed of heart. I think his lawyers just told him he was going to lose. This is a mess.
Ross Gerber with Gerber Kawasaki says Musk is acquiring the company with employee morale at an all-time low. Twitter shares closed 22% higher yesterday, and Tesla shares rose on the news as well. They climbed nearly 3%. This morning, though, Tesla's down about 1.25%.
Well, turning to the broader markets now, Nathan, U.S. futures are lower following 2 days of gains. Optimism for a so-called Fed pivot may be waning. Phil Palumbo, CEO with Palumbo Wealth Management, says this week's gains are likely a bear market rally.
To reduce some of the risk with vol, we've been investing in cash right now, and we're taking advantage of volatility. As we're in this bear market, as we believe things will get worse, we'll put those monies to work in good quality businesses as long-term investors.
And Phil Palumbo with Palumbo Wealth Management says he expects inflation to fall from here, but he also predicts the volatility will continue.
Well, this morning's drop in futures, Karen, follows hawkish rhetoric from more central bank officials. Fed Governor Philip Jefferson says reducing inflation will likely require a period of weak growth to ease demand. Also speaking yesterday, San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly, she calls inflation a corrosive disease.
Right now, the pain that I hear every day, the suffering that people tell me they're going through, is on the inflation side. And this is true of low and moderate income people, not just people who are worried that inflation expectations will drift. They're worried about their day-to-day living.
And stay tuned for more from San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly later this morning. We'll sit down with her for an interview live on Bloomberg Radio and Television at 10:15 Wall Street time.
Well, overnight saw stocks in Asia rally for a second straight day, Nathan. Traders are betting that the global monetary policy tightening cycle will soon ease. And Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with the latest. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. The regional benchmark index climbed as much as 1.8%, led by a surge in consumer discretionary and tech stocks like TSMC and Alibaba. And that brought the measure's two-day rally to more than 4%, the best two-day gain since March. Stocks in Hong Kong, the region's best performers, the benchmark Hang Seng index jumping more than 5% as trading resumed following a holiday. And the Kiwi and New Zealand bonds rallied as the RBNZ followed up with yet another 50 basis point hike, the fifth in a row. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg. Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. Let's turn to Europe now, where it's all about UK politics. Prime Minister Liz Truss is delivering a speech at the annual Tory conference in Birmingham aimed at reviving her beleaguered premiership. Bloomberg's James Woolcock is there and joins us with the very latest. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Liz Truss's honeymoon is over. Now, after a humiliating U-turn and market chaos, she needs to prove to the Conservative Party that elected her only a month ago that she can actually lead the government. She'll acknowledge that struggle in her speech, saying wherever there is change, there is disruption. But even ahead of that speech, divisions in her party are coming to light. Even members of the Prime Minister's top team are in open disagreement over what to do next. In Birmingham, I'm James Woolcock, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, James, thank you. To politics here in the U.S. now, where Donald Trump is back in focus, the former president is asking the Supreme Court to let a court-appointed special master review classified documents seized from his Mar-a-Lago home. The move escalates the Justice Department's investigation into whether Trump or his aides illegally took sensitive government records when he left office and obstructed repeated efforts to recover them.
In New York, Karen, we got word Micron Technology plans to invest as much as $100 billion over the next 20 years to build a factory in the state. It's the latest bid to boost U.S. production of memory chips. Governor Kathy Hochul says it'll create about 50,000 jobs in New York State.
We believe that this is going to be a catalyst, not just for this company and jobs to come here, but also the supply chain companies that'll say, you know, I don't want to manufacture overseas. There's so many disruptions.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul spoke with David Westin on Bloomberg's Balance of Power. Catch the program weekdays at noon on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Well, turning to corporate news now, Nathan, Amazon is pausing hiring for corporate positions in its retail business. It's the latest sign that Amazon is adjusting its workforce to slowing online sales. Sources say the company will pause recruitment until the end of the year. The freeze does not apply to its warehouse network, where most of its employees work.
And Karen's e-cigarette manufacturer, Juul, has begun talks for funding for a potential Chapter 11 bankruptcy. That's according to people with knowledge of the preparations. They say it's not final. Plans could change. A Juul spokesman says the company is still considering other avenues. And right now, S&P futures are down 33 points. Dow futures are lower by 273. NASDAQ futures on the decline by 101 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 15 30 seconds, yield 3.69%. Yield on the 2-year, 4.12. NYMEX crude's down a tenth percent or 11 cents at $86.41 a barrel. COMEX gold is lower by 8/10 percent at $17.1660 an ounce. The euro 0.9920 against the dollar, the pound 1.1381, the yen is at 144.49, Bitcoin trading around $20,100. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 6:07 on Wall Street, 56 degrees with rain in Central Park, still dealing with big problems. Route 80 getting through Patterson this morning. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The New York Division of the Drug Enforcement Administration and local law enforcement say they've made a significant seizure of rainbow fentanyl in Manhattan. The seizure of nearly 15,000 pills happened on September 28th when a vehicle under surveillance by the DEA was stopped outside the Lincoln Tunnel. Bridget Brennan is New York City's special narcotics prosecutor.
They approached the car and found Letitia Bush in the rear seat with two black tote bags and a yellow Lego container right there. Inside the Lego container were several brick-shaped packages covered in black tape lying next to Lego blocks.
Prosecutor Brennan says Bush was arrested. DEA special agent in charge, Frank Tarantino.
This is deliberate. This is calculated. This is treacherous deception to market rainbow fentanyl like candy.
Frank Tarantino with the DEA says with Halloween approaching, these newly packaged poisons are a parent's worst nightmare. Mourners will say their final goodbyes to an FDNY EMS lieutenant. Funeral services take place today for Allison Russo Elling in Brookville. She was fatally stabbed last week in an unprovoked attack. The FDNY says Russo Elling, who was 61, will be posthumously promoted to captain today. President Biden will head to Florida today to meet with Governor Ron DeSantis. Days after Hurricane Ian pounded Florida's southwest, crews are still conducting door-to-door searches for survivors. Fort Myers Beach Mayor Ray Murphy.
Nobody was spared this storm. Every structure on the island was affected.
Mayor Murphy says the city will rebuild. President Joe Biden will be in New York State tomorrow. The president heads to a jobs event hosted by IBM and a pair of fundraisers ahead of the November midterm elections. A White House official says the trip will include a visit to the IBM campus in Poughkeepsie. Biden is later expected to travel to New Jersey for a fundraiser hosted by the Democratic National Committee. Gas prices could rise again on expectations of a large cut in crude oil production from the OPEC cartel it meets today. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Aaron Judge is in the record books. John Stashower.
You know, Nathan, they've been playing baseball in the American League for 120 years. The three most home runs hit in a single season, all by Yankee outfielders. The 60 hit by Babe Ruth, 1927, 61 hit by Roger Maris, 1961, and now 61 years after that. Move over, Roger Maris. Aaron Judge led off the second game of a doubleheader in Texas.
Here's the 1-1. Swung on.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record. Aaron Judge hits his 62nd. All the Yankees out of the dugout to greet him.
The FAN had the call. It came off the Rangers' Jesus Tinoco. His third pitch of the game, a slider that Judge hit to the left field stands. It was caught there by a guy who's apparently a wealthy banker, and so far anyway, holding on to the ball. Judge's season's been amazing. 23 more home runs than anyone else in the league. Only 44 fewer home runs than the entire Detroit Tigers. And, oh, by the way, he's going to be a free agent after the season. The Yankees split the doubleheader. They learned their opponent in the division series will be the winner of the wild card series between Cleveland and Tampa Bay. The Mets learned their opponent in their wild card series this weekend at Citi Field will be the San Diego Padres. Mets swept the doubleheader from Washington, but Atlanta clinched the NL East with a win in Miami. Preseason NBA, Knicks beat the Pistons at the Garden. The Islanders have locked up Matthew Barzell, new 8-year, $73 million contract. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. S&P futures down 34 points. Dow futures down 286. NASDAQ futures are lower by 104 points. The British pound at 1.1383 against the dollar as UK Prime Minister Liz Truss begins to speak to her Conservative conference. We check in live next in Birmingham with Bloomberg's James Woolcock. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. This rain will taper off to afternoon showers. Should clear out by this evening. We'll get up to around 60 degrees. Clearing milder tomorrow, low 70s. Sunny, low 70s for Friday. Right now, 56 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures and European shares are falling as investors scale down their optimism for less hawkish central banks and seek more evidence that inflation is moderating. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 37 points. Dow futures down 303 and NASDAQ futures down 107. The DAX in Germany is down 0.9%. The 10-year Treasury down 17/32. Yield 3.70%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.12%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.4% or 37 cents at $86.15 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 1.1% or $18.20 at $17.12.30 an ounce. Euro 0.9915 against the dollar. British pound 1.1377 and the yen 144.47. And Bitcoin is down 1.1% at $20,100. Today we are watching for a report on private payrolls at 8:15 Wall Street time. At 8:30 is the trade balance. Then at 10 a look at service industries. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Recovery efforts continue in Florida amid the devastation left by Hurricane Ian. President Biden plans to visit the state today. United Airlines is said to be restarting Hong Kong flights as soon as January. It's one of a handful of major airlines to resume passenger flights to the city, which has largely been cut off to the outside world since the start of the pandemic. In baseball, Yankee slugger Aaron Judge hit his 62nd home run of the season to break Roger Maris's American League record. It happened in Game 1 as the Yankees split a doubleheader with the Rangers. The Mets swept a doubleheader against the Nationals, but the Braves still clinched the NL East with a win over the Marlins. The Red Sox and A's won. The Giants lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries.
I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It is 6:19 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to turn now to the political drama in the UK. Prime Minister Liz Truss is addressing her fellow Conservatives right now at their party conference, trying to get her economic agenda and her premiership back on track. She just began speaking moments ago. Let's listen into part of what she's had to say.
We gather at a vital time for the United Kingdom. These are stormy days. Together, we've mourned the death of Queen Elizabeth II, the rock on which modern Britain was built. We're now in a new era under King Charles III. We're dealing with the global economic crisis caused by COVID and by Putin's appalling war in Ukraine. In these tough times, we need to step up. I'm determined to get Britain moving, to get us through the tempest, and to put us on a stronger footing as a nation. I'm driven in this mission by my firm belief in the British people. I believe that you know best how to spend your own money to get on in life and to realise your ambitions.
It's UK Prime Minister Liz Truss as she continues speaking this morning at the Tory conference in Birmingham. Let's check in live with Bloomberg's James Woolcock, who's been covering this event for the last several days here. And it has been a tumultuous few days, of course. James, what else is standing out from this speech for you?
I mean, Nathan, just as I'm watching this now, protesters have stormed the stage. Just a minute ago, two protesters tried to unveil a Greenpeace banner for, you know, climate change activists and have had to be dragged out. And Liz Truss sort of responded to it by saying, I'm going to be talking about the anti-growth coalition, the people who are holding us back, people who are going to later on in the speech, but they seem to have arrived a little early. So she's handled that quite well. But she is now trying, Nathan, to reset her agenda. She's talking a bit about her history, how she comes to politics, and why she cares so much about growth and what has led to her making these choices that she has made, and also you turned on earlier this week. It's been an incredible few weeks for her, having to have 70 years of the Queen's rule and deal with that funeral only a week into the job, and now a month into the job she's having to set out her entire policy agenda in spite of the market chaos the UK has been facing. It's a very difficult ask for a very new Prime Minister.
Yeah, and it's been a very difficult time for her, obviously, when she's had to renege on some of this economic agenda that she's put forward, particularly on the tax cuts for the wealthy. Is there a sense that she's going to firm up around an economic agenda that sort of adjusts to the reality of the political headwinds she's facing from within her own party?
Well, the difficulty is that the Chancellor has said that he isn't able to unveil his economic plan for how he's going to pay for all this sort of fiscal stimulus until November 23rd. So in this speech, what we're effectively watching for is how she performs. Can she bring the party back on side? Because one of the big dangers in the UK is Liz Truss's support within her own party is so fractious, is what this sort of conference has unveiled, that when they go back to Westminster next week, there are real questions swirling about if she can actually pass any of her measures into legislation, or will there be a lame duck administration?
Yeah, and I know you've been speaking to conservative members throughout, or I guess what conservative members who've shown up to this conference so far. What have they been telling you about whether they do support the agenda from Liz Truss going forward?
Well, in terms of the rank and file, it's fascinating. The ones who are freer to talk to journalists. The staffers who work for MPs is always an interesting indicator. I have had more than I can count on one hand tell me they are looking for jobs outside of politics because they don't expect to win the next election. So that's always an interesting indicator. They aren't optimistic at all. And like you mentioned, the MPs, the members of Parliament, the lawmakers who are part of the party, so many of them haven't shown up. And a lot of them have gone home yesterday because today in the UK there are rail strikes planned specifically to try and hamstring attendance to this event, which just goes to show the scale of unrest the UK is facing. Liz Truss has such an uphill battle. And in this speech, we will be judging to see if she can reset the agenda and bring back the party in time to be back to Westminster next week and try and push through this big agenda.
Rail strikes, rancor within the party, and Greenpeace protesters. It just sort of encapsulates the atmosphere in the UK right now. As you mentioned, an uphill climb might be understating things for Liz Truss. Thanks for this, James. Great work covering the Tory conference throughout these last few days here. James Wilcox joining us this morning from the Conservative Party conference in Birmingham, England, where Prime Minister Liz Truss is continuing her address. You can watch it on the Bloomberg Terminal at Live Go. We also have a blog running with our top live team, TLIV Go, to get more on what the Prime Minister has had to say and instant analysis of her comments as they happen. Looking ahead to the market open here on Wall Street, futures are moving lower. S&P futures are down 34 points. Dow futures down 283. NASDAQ futures lower by 96 points. British pound 1.1383 against the dollar, so weakening on the cable rate. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Rain will taper off and should be done by this evening. We'll get up to near 60 degrees, clearing low 70s. Tomorrow, sunshine, low 70s continue for Friday. Right now, 56 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers charges margin loan rates from 3.58% to 4.58%. Rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare. Up first, we begin with Elon Musk reviving his bid to buy Twitter. He'll make the acquisition at the original price of $54.20 a share. Ross Gerber with Gerber Kawasaki says the world's richest man must focus on mending his relationship with the company and its employees.
It's not distrust, it's hate. They hate him. He's created a situation. And I love Elon. You know, I'm a fan and supporter, don't get me wrong. But I have friends at Twitter, and they hate him. Now, if I'm Twitter, I'm not going to get rid of this lawsuit at all. I'm going to force specific performance on Elon because there's no trust there at all.
Ross Gerber with Gerber Kawasaki says Musk is acquiring the company with employee morale at an all-time low. Now, Twitter shares closed 22% higher yesterday. They're lower this morning, down about 0.4%. Tesla shares also jumped on the news, climbing nearly 3%, and they're also lower this morning, down 1.1%.
Now, the broader market's lower as well, Karen. Futures are falling, following hawkish rhetoric from several more central bank officials. San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly spoke yesterday and stressed the importance of price stability.
Unlike it's a great time to be a worker, workers have all this power, I don't see a lot of power if your real wages are falling 9%. And so that is sort of an example of why inflation is a corrosive, if we let it go, it's a corrosive disease.
And hear more from San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly later this morning. We sit down with her for an interview live on Bloomberg Radio and Television at 10:15 Wall Street time.
Well, overnight saw stocks in Asia rally for a second straight day, Nathan, with traders betting global monetary tightening will ease soon. It's a different story in Europe this morning, where stocks are following U.S. futures lower.
Now, we continue to keep an eye on U.K. politics, Karen. Prime Minister Liz Truss is speaking at the annual Tory conference in Birmingham that's aimed at reviving her beleaguered leadership.
Well, back here in the U.S., Nathan, politics also in focus. Former President Donald Trump is asking the Supreme Court to let a court-appointed special master review classified documents seized from his Mar-a-Lago home. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 28 points, Dow futures down 228, and NASDAQ futures down 81. And straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It is 6:33 on Wall Street. Rain and 56 degrees in Central Park. The focal point continues to be Patterson. Route 80. Big issues there. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Mourners will say their final goodbyes to an FDNY EMS lieutenant. Funeral services take place today for Allison Russo Elling in Brookville. She was fatally stabbed last week in an unprovoked attack. The FDNY says Russo Elling, who was 61, will be posthumously promoted to captain today. The New York Division of the DEA and local law enforcement announced the results of the first significant seizure of rainbow fentanyl in Manhattan. The seizure of nearly 15,000 pills happened on September 28th when a vehicle was stopped outside the Lincoln Tunnel, where they discovered the pills hidden in black tote bags and a Lego container. Bridget Brennan is New York City's special narcotics prosecutor.
My office and our partners are committed to disrupting high-level narcotics trafficking by intercepting large loads of lethal drugs and drug proceeds. We do this to protect New Yorkers and to save lives.
Prosecutor Brennan says the person in the car, Letitia Bush of Trenton, was arrested. President Biden will visit Florida today to tour the damage caused by Hurricane Ian. More than 100 people were killed by the storm in the U.S. President Biden gave a stark warning while talking about the task force on reproductive health care access. According to the president, if the Republicans win Congress this year, states that retained abortion access rights could lose that as well.
And the Congress should codify the protections of Roe and do it once and for all. But right now, we're short a handful of votes. So the only way it's going to happen is if the American people make it happen.
At least 15 states have stopped nearly all abortion services since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in June. Micron Technology says it plans to invest as much as $100 billion over the next 20 years to build a factory in upstate New York to boost U.S. production of memory chips. The factory, to be built near Syracuse, plans to create about 50,000 jobs. Governor Kathy Hochul, with Bloomberg's David Westin, spoke about New York's $5.5 billion in the project.
This is an enhancement of a program that already exists where we will give tax credits after jobs are created. So this is not a blank check and hoping a wing and a prayer. No, this is concrete. It's money that will be spent over the 20 years as the jobs are created.
Governor Hochul, Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:36 on Wall Street, but the big number this morning is 62. Here's John Stashar, the Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan. Aaron Judge's pursuit of Roger Maris is indeed finally over. Number 62 hit in game number 161. It became apparent a few months ago that it might be tough for Judge to reach Barry Bonds' 73, but that Roger Maris' American League record was in reach. He hit his 60th over 2 weeks ago. It took him 8 games to get to 61 and then 5 more games without a homer, including the opener of the doubleheader in Texas. But Judge led off the second game, shot to left field off the Rangers' Jesus Tinoco. He'll be the answer to a trivia question. All of his Yankee teammates greeted him at home plate, and later Judge was asked what he'll remember about this experience.
Seeing Yankee Stadium on their feet for every single at-bat, they're booing pitchers for throwing balls, which I've never seen before. And, I think I got a base hit the other night, and I was getting booed for a single. It's just, little moments like that you look back on, would have been great to do it at Yankee Stadium in front of our home fans. But I know a lot of Yankee fans, they travel well, and there's a lot of Yankee fans here tonight.
Of course, this record got so much attention because it's also the so-called clean record. Bonds, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa's season's all tainted by steroid use. Yankees beat the Rangers 5-4 and then lost 3-2. They finished the season today going for their 100th win. In the division series, they'll play either Cleveland or Tampa Bay. The Mets swept the doubleheader from Washington 4-2 and 8-0. They've won 100 games, but will finish second behind Atlanta. The Braves clinch, and the Mets will face San Diego in the best-of-3 wildcard series at Citi Field that starts on Friday. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Thank you, John. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Markets correspondent and television anchor Danny Berger with us this morning on a morning where it seems like investors are saying to themselves, maybe the Fed's not ready to pivot just yet, after all. Is that kind of your read, Danny?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It just feels like a market that is just so bearish, or at least in investor sentiment, that sort of anything seems to excite us and say, okay, maybe the Fed's going to pivot, which is, I think, what we saw over the past 2 days, including a nice little short covering rally to really get stocks going. But I think when you stop and you pause and you listen to what Fed speakers have actually said, such as Daly yesterday, I mean, they certainly do not sound like a group who are ready to pivot.
Yeah, let's take a look under the hood just a little bit this morning. Of course, we have to talk about the Elon Musk Twitter buyout. Back on, it has been a saga that's just been riveting for the last few months here. And how's it affecting the shares this morning, Danny?
Well, so shares this morning are a little bit weaker pre-market. I mean, that was after sort of a monster rally of 22% yesterday. So pre-market down nearly half of a percent. So that's, I mean, not too much of a retracement considering what happened yesterday. But still, the fact remains, the offer price, the original one that Elon Musk is going through with, is $54.20. We are still below that $51.75. So you could kind of guess from that arbitrage that still exists between the two that there's still some lingering skepticism of how this deal will go through. Will it go through? Even though, again, Elon Musk now saying his people, at least, that he will indeed buy the company.
Yeah, there's a great story on the Bloomberg Terminal this morning about how yesterday was a great day for ARBs, all the people who bet on this merger going forward after all. And in our last few seconds here, Danny, I have to think that you're going to be keeping an eye on oil-related stocks this morning with OPEC Plus meeting.
Yeah, so, I mean, the numbers have rapidly increased to expectations of how much OPEC is going to cut. Will it be, you know, 500,000? Will it be 1 million? Will it be 2 million? At least that's where we've landed at this moment. If they do a drastic cut, that likely means that oil is going to rally pretty substantially. And so a lot of the oil majors will rally in sympathy as well.
All right, Bloomberg Markets correspondent and television anchor Danny Berger with us this morning, taking a look at what's happening in the pre-market. Quick check of NYMEX crude this morning as OPEC Plus meets in Vienna, getting just a bit of a bid. Had been a little bit lower, but now it's up about a tenth percent at $86.63 a barrel. As for the broader market, as far as equities go, they are moving lower after the fourth quarter started with a two-day rally, giving back some this morning with S&P futures down 29 points, Dow futures down 242, and NASDAQ futures, they're moving lower by 86 points, and the 10-year Treasury is down 15/32 for a yield of 3.69%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, finally going to get better soon. We'll get up to near 60 today with showers tapering by the evening. Looking for sunshine, low 70s to round out this week. Right now, 54 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are lower this morning. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call, and here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure after yesterday's surge, with Dow futures down 232 points, S&P's dropped 28, while the NASDAQ futures are off by 85. The U.S. 10-year yield at 3.7%, gold is down 16, oil is in the green, and Bitcoin is trading lower by 1%. Hong Kong rose 5.9% overnight, while European markets are also in the red this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:15, ADP employment change, at 9:45, services and composite PMIs, and at 10 o'clock, the ISM services index. In other news, Citigroup's quant strategist said the U.S. stocks have only just begun to price in a recession, and people familiar said that Citadel's four hedge funds generated double-digit returns this year. Wrapping things up, Church & Dwight was raised to buy over at Deutsche Bank. Airbnb rated a new outperform over at Bernstein. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. President Joe Biden is traveling to Florida today. Biden will pledge that federal, state, and local governments will work as one to help rebuild homes, businesses, and lives destroyed by Hurricane Ian. Former President Donald Trump wants the U.S. Supreme Court to look into government papers seized at his Mar-a-Lago home. Trump is asking the justices to let a court-appointed special master review 100 documents with classified markings. In baseball, Yankees slugger Aaron Judge hit his 62nd home run of the season to break Roger Maris's AL record. It happened in Game 1 as the Yankees split a doubleheader with the Rangers. The Mets swept a doubleheader against the Nationals, but the Braves still clinched the NL East with a win over the Marlins. The Red Sox and A's won. The Giants lost. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:49 on Wall Street, and we turn to news in science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, whose NJII unit has joined with pharmaceutical giant Merck to establish the Merck Digital Sciences Studio to support drug discovery and development. More at njit.edu. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Climate change has made Hurricane Ian's most extreme rainfall about 10% worse than it would have been without 2 centuries of greenhouse gas pollution, according to a first-take analysis by 2 U.S. climate researchers. The analysis shared on Twitter looked only at rainfall and not other critical climate metrics related to hurricanes. The full death toll will likely not be known for weeks. Damage estimates could reach $100 billion. Taiwan is pledging to work closely with the U.S. and other allies as tensions between Washington and Beijing grow. Taiwan will keep its advanced semiconductor development at home while adopting measures to stop its tech from being used by the Chinese military. And India's mission to Mars finally ran out of fuel after spending 8 years in the outer world, according to the nation's space agency. The orbiter studying the surface and atmosphere was launched in 2013 and was expected to last just 6 months. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Nathan.
Thank you, Karen. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's 6:51 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden to meet with Florida Governor DeSantis during a trip to that hurricane-ravaged state. The president taking a muted response to North Korea's missile launches. Republicans standing by Herschel Walker after a report the Georgia Senate candidate paid for an abortion, and former President Donald Trump taking his Mar-a-Lago records fight to the Supreme Court. Let's get more now on some of these stories from Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, starting, of course, with the president heading to Florida. This is going to be a trip to watch for more reasons than one, Emily.
I mean, absolutely, Nathan. I mean, Ron DeSantis is considered perhaps one of the leading contenders for the Republican Party for 2024, especially if we don't see former President Trump run again. But at this point, he and Biden are really trying to put aside any sort of potential showdown or frustrations and just really focus on addressing the folks in Florida who are hit by Hurricane Ian. And remember, Ian, too, this is coming just a couple weeks after Ron DeSantis had a couple planefuls of migrants sent to Martha's Vineyard, causing, you know, a lot of confusion there, a lot of questions about what services they needed, how to better take care of them. For DeSantis, it was meant, of course, as a political point about the situation at the southern border. But the Biden administration has really criticized that move, saying that they were playing politics with people. At the same point, they've said that for now, they are putting all of that aside. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said that there would be talk with homeowners and small business owners that they weren't going to be asking about that whole incident with the migrants being flown up to Martha's Vineyard, and that overall, they're just really trying to focus right now on making sure that the aid that is needed after Hurricane Ian is met.
Well, much as they both might be saying they're putting politics aside, you have to think that politics are at play here, Emily, with a midterm election less than 5 weeks away now and Governor DeSantis right in the middle of a reelection fight.
That's true. I mean, to a certain extent, though, the politics kind of benefit what they're doing right now. Politicians are very judgely harshed on, are judged a lot on how they respond to hurricanes. You've seen careers be made or broken. You've seen particular moments really stand out. Think about Chris Christie's embrace of then President Barack Obama when dealing with the hurricane that hit New Jersey in 2012. And so this is certainly a moment where a big spotlight is on Biden and DeSantis. And both of them know that right now it's really important for them not to be seen as playing politics, to be seen as addressing this in a very serious way. The hope for, I think, both men is that that ultimately wins them points with the larger American people and, you know, could be a benefit to any potential future presidential run.
All right, let's turn to geopolitics now, because the president has to focus on that as well, particularly with North Korea firing all these missiles over the last few days. And he's taking a much different approach to this than his predecessor, to be sure.
Yeah, so the launch, it's the first time North Korea has fired a missile over Japan in 5 years. And Biden responded by pledging to work more closely with Japan and South Korea. But he really hasn't promised much more than that. And that really is a difference from what we saw with the former president, with Trump. And at this point, a lot of it speaks to Biden's larger international focuses. He's very focused on Ukraine, of course. He's very focused on Beijing and China and the relationship there. And this is one of the features that we've seen from the Biden presidency. Unlike Trump, who, you know, tried to meet with Kim Jong-un, who exchanged letters with him, who had sort of a whole thing, Biden has really sort of not paid much attention to North Korea. Certainly, he's had to sort of manage the threat that they pose with their nuclear weapons. But at the same point, he's really trying to keep the narrative on Ukraine and on Beijing rather than focus on North Korea.
And abortion rights, of course, has become more of a focus as well, particularly this week with the president putting out an announcement yesterday. And now this flap around Georgia Senate candidate Herschel Walker.
Yeah, so we are going to be expecting to see President Biden putting out guidance for universities to increase protections for students who decide to have abortions. And it comes at this time when the Republican Party, of course, there's a strong anti-abortion sentiment there. It varies a little bit among candidates, but now you have the news that a leading Republican candidate in the Georgia Senate race, Herschel Walker, that he paid for an abortion for a girlfriend about 13 years ago. This was reported by the Daily Beast. They had receipts of a check that he signed, a get well card that he sent to this woman. And at this point, Herschel Walker has denied any of these allegations. He says that they're not true, that he plans to sue the Daily Beast over it. And you've seen Republicans really rally around him. I mean, as far as no one's been calling him out, Republicans have said that they believe him, that they still support him. He is still very much the nominee. And what's going to be a race that really defines who gets to control the Senate next year? Georgia is absolutely one of the ones to watch. And so for these types of allegations, serious backed up allegations to come out against their candidate and for Republicans not to blink an eye. It's certainly notable as far as sort of how the party is thinking about abortion and thinking about what they need to do to win in the midterms.
Also notable in our last minute here, Emily, the Mar-a-Lago fight now going to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, Trump is looking to the Supreme Court to intervene in a fight over governor papers seized at his Mar-a-Lago home. He wants the justices to let that court-appointed special master, that third party, review 100 documents with classified markings. And Nathan, this really escalates what we've already been seeing so far. Trump initially pushing for the special master to review the documents, and now he's pushing for them to really review these classified documents. And there are lots of questions around why these documents would need to be reviewed by a third party. Of course, at the center of all of this is a potential national security risk that those documents could pose, and a lot of questions about what is in those documents. It's also a bit of a delay tactic. The longer Trump spends in the courts arguing about which documents he should have, which documents should be reviewed, the more you've got a delay for the Justice Department and their investigation into Trump.
Thanks, Emily. As always, Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins with us this morning. Bloomberg Surveillance is next on Bloomberg Radio. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.